myself every other story. We have a quorum to conduct business. I'd like to recognize our recording secretary, Jamie Brewer, and LA moderator, Alex Beatty. Thank you. Before we begin, please mute the microphones and turn off cell phones. Remember to manually unmute the microphone to speak. And remember to return to mute when we have to do background sound for the meeting. And if you are not speaking, if you could turn your camera off if you are online, that would be helpful. Today, our focus is on career and technical education, or CTE. For all the members who asked about this topic, we will hear reports from CTEs. These staff from across the state, as well as the groups of the opportunities and challenges that CTE programs face in Alaska secondary schools. We also hope from the Alaska Vocational Technical Center, ACTEC, a program serving Alaska's adult populations. We didn't have a flu last night this morning, so we need to keep an eye on the clock. There is some time for questions that is limited, so you may want to have longer questions. Our office is happy to compile them and send questions to the program and hear responses. We have like six districts online. The last association with the current tech and have tech, so it was a full morning that are very exhausting. Our presentation will follow the order provided in the slide deck,
teacher won't be doing CSI. Whatever point school shut down and people at home and tech still being at home, it could just simply replicate the efforts of what happened in CTV. So we met as a team to decide what the final efforts and what focus and what unique aspect of CTE is on instruction, what child has to engage kids, take our three products of CTE courses, strip it down to like the essential. We have some things that are practical and simple work. So we came up with five courses. Small as you can. On the right hand side is a picture of a video microphone that they have created. Shows a series of 29 videos that they have put together. So the students wouldn't have to read from a textbook, but rather they could access these videos from our website. The instructors in fact, Brian Robin, recently retired. Thank you.
Because I'm wondering how many students roughly go through your program in a year.
information or understand every day. And if you look at our vision, I'm going to point out one phrase helps you grow or helps you shape one goal of satisfied life. With CTE partners, we strive to help those students set their work career and living range in a career pathway that is meaningful to them. And so that is how another presentation today, as well as the partners that we're going to listen to, are working towards helping students do that. We do this by providing information on resources and leadership to districts, to partners, as well as to the working with industry to move these things forward. Next slide, please. So in our education challenge, there is number two, talks about increasing pre-technical education for students. This is done by Francis Lindsay. CTE works very strongly with partners. This is a really very nice community of people working with students of all ages and adults of all ages to craft and build some advice and jobs as they move forward in their lives.
So next slide, please. So I'm gonna pick the next question point out and say partnership for more time to get communications of that. CTE is effective because of partnerships. It's taking students in the secondary classroom and moving them beyond the classroom to those work opportunities with the goal there of the living wage jobs, the high skill, high wage jobs. So if you look at this illustration, the programs within our high schools are there, that lower left circle with a little arrow on it. That's the Department of Education funding that may flow through us. We have a small amount of purpose funds. I'll talk about it in a moment. These are federal funds designed to promote current technical education opportunities to high schools and it goes to the state. Then we have our state funding formula funds that are distributed to schools. That's state money. And then I just want to give a quick notice to a couple of organizations that serve high schools, serve secondary schools, that are starting to push our students beyond the classroom. And that's, first of all, CTSOs, or current technical student organizations. And we have seven of these in the state. You may have 8 million of Future Farmers of America, Educators Rising, Business Professionals of America. So these are seven organizations that are providing students with a leadership opportunity and allowing them to move out into the community and out into the workplace. And then the second organization, ACTE, is Erasmus Association for Career and Technical Education. This is a local organization that's linked to a national organization that then is advocating, is collaborating with our school districts and other stakeholders to promote CTE and share and develop high-quality resources. So that little figure there is what's happening maybe through the Department of Education, but again, partnerships, it's links. So linking to post-secondary institutions through dual credit so our students can take credit both for high school graduation and something they can apply after graduation, either through university systems or through technical and trade school institutions. And so then the other partnership is with employers and industry through work-based learning. Anything from the access to the career information system that students can research what careers are available to them, clear up to an apprenticeship or a formal arrangement with an employer or a work release type of situation. And so that's moving our students then out into the workplace, partnering with industry through a lot of, I think, the adult training institutions that Department of Labor and Workforce Development is so good at delivering. And again, that's all
research for CTE activities. But we don't necessarily track that intentionally, but especially with our larger districts, I mean, they're putting in probably more than that money into their strong CTE programs. We'll hear more about that from them later in this meeting. So now we're kind of expanding outward, and we have private government grants to secondary schools. And this, again, is something that we're not measuring, but it's definitely out there and impactful. And then an even larger resource pool than post-secondary government institutions, the Department of Labor, the University of Nebraska system, the Islamic College, those training institutions, the TDOT training institution that Don mentioned. Like, that's a whole larger pool of resources and opportunity for our high school students that we want to link to. And then beyond that, obviously, in the workplace, the businesses, the industry, what they're spending and investing in training their employees or developing workforce pipelines. So there's this large, huge ecosystem of which the Department of Education's piece is a small piece. But again, the key is magnifying and linking that small piece to these larger resources. The next slide, please. So how do we do that? So one of the things that Carol Perkins Funding does is it focuses us on programs of study. And if you note here on this Venn diagram of organizational structures, it goes clear from the largest grant cluster. So in this case, there's an example of health science. There's about 16 of these that are recognized nationally. And then it moves down to the smallest unit of management, which is a course, or a classroom, if you will. I mean, I think back to when I was in middle school, when I first interacted with career education, it was a standalone course. It was an introduction to workshop. It was a course that I took. It didn't necessarily link me to employment opportunities or credit or credentials beyond the classroom. They've gotten a lot smarter and more intentional in how we're making those things. And I'm going to point you to that middle circle, the program of study. This is our unit of organization and management in the high school and secondary level, is the program of study. And so I'm just going to talk quickly about the characteristics of this program of study. So next slide, please. But the first is a program of study is responsive to demand. Doug Warraff mentioned at Deepwater Port that they're putting into an MLA. That's a demand that is going to need workers. There's an opportunity. And so a CTEP should be responsive to local, regional, state-level demand. The second thing is it should allow for students to develop career awareness and explore different careers. The third thing that a CTEP or a CTE program of study should provide is multiple stacked courses. It's not just me dabbling in one shop and then going over and taking maybe a home economics course, which is what we call it back then, and never the two shall meet. Rather, these are courses that are moving me from exploratory employability skills, moving me then to technical skills that I can then apply in the workplace. So stacked courses. The fourth area is being representative of existing standards, both academic, employability, and then from the industry side with technical standards, whether it's in welding, whether it's in maritime, as we've already mentioned. The additional characteristic of a program of study is that it's focused on credentials and credits that apply after the student graduates. So this is dual credit, maybe with the university, or it could be just having a leg up in a training program, such as Avtech, upon graduation, that they are then ahead of the curve a bit in doing that. And then lastly, the thing that a program of study focuses on is work-based learning, moving beyond the classroom. Could be a registered apprenticeship or some sort of work-based credit that a student can allow there in school. So that's the program. way of pushing our students, pushing our programs beyond the graduate. That's right, I believe. So, I think I'm going to give a quick shout out to a couple of partnerships that are important to us. Clear Partner Funding requires a local advisory committee consultation with them on an ongoing basis. And so this is as if school districts develop their career and technical education plan, they're gathering industry representatives, parents, student reps, different stakeholders, and making sure that they're consulting and getting a sense of what is needed and what the interest is in. So that's an important partnership to have this locally. And then I'm going to give a quick endorsement to what Laura said about the TLAP reauthorization. So those technical and vocational education programs, there's about 10 of them, as I'm sure you're aware, they don't necessarily, the Department of Education is not supervising or handling the funding that goes to those TLAP institutions, but let me just say that they have been amazing at intentionally reaching out to high school students. They have partnered with us. They have partnered and been present at school district training events, our annual CT training events, to make sure that they're connecting with those upcoming high school students. So I just need to give a shout out to those TVET institutions and the Department of Labor and Workforce Development that supervises that funding. And then I will just want to mention the university system. So the university has a rapid transition coalition, and we have partnered with them and sat elbow to elbow at some of our training events with representatives from the various University of Alaska campuses and systems. And this is especially important because those arrangements are made between a school district and a local or regional campus. So having those individuals from UATC in the Transition Coalition sitting elbow to elbow with our school district CTE reps has been vital and important, and it is something that we would like to continue. And then I think you may hear about some of these from some of our presenters later on. It's just arrangements with business, with industry, trade unions, at the local level. So this is just some examples of the partnerships that we're expanding. Next slide, please. So this is just an illustration to demonstrate the same idea of partnerships. And in the past, it could be that the split arrow was actually two separate arrows. We had what was happening in schools, and then we had the larger training and opportunities for adults. And it was about probably two decades ago, maybe 15 years ago, when nationally we made a very intentional effort to say, hey, the programs of study that we're building in schools should be feeding into what the student will face as an adult. So it's providing opportunities and a leg up for that. So this illustration is just kind of to reemphasize that the CTEPS, the program of study in high school, is designed to flow into what the adult opportunities are going to be. Next slide. So then, the ultimate error has been obviously the interruptions caused by COVID-19 over the course of the last year and a half. The first thing that we were able to allow was with those federal funds, normally school districts need to spend those funds by June 30th. One thing that we were able to do is work with the U.S. Department of Education to allow for some flexibility for districts to carry those funds forward. There was a lot of travel that was going to be planned in the spring of 2020 that didn't happen. And so there were funds that were sitting. So rather than gathering that back, we wanted to make sure that the district still had access to those funds. In the spring of 2020, we had a weekly collaborative call, and this was a gathering of school district CTE reps via webinar weekly to talk about issues. Things were changing on a daily basis then, and so talking about challenges to CTE, solutions that were bubbling up across the state. And then we have two annual conferences. One is supported by the Association for Career and Technical Education. The other is sponsored by the Department of Ed, and both that you can access the webinar or web page, and then the next slide has contact information for both Ben and Bob and myself, and I'll pass it back to them.
Thank you. For the record, this is the Director of the Department of Education and Early Development. Thank you for allowing us to visit about RCT programs. On this resource page, I'd like to draw your attention to two things in this past slide 11. Is our CT purpose state plan. This was that we plan that we created in response to the new legislation that we authorized in this program. And it talks about our goals and ideas moving forward that we did collaboratively with all of the other departments that you're going to hear from today. And also about a workplace learning guide that we created last year in partnership with the Department of Labor, Department of Commerce, and as well as some of the districts. And so, I guess if there were any questions, Brad and I can answer those.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for the
information. Familiar with that program at all, but the general question is, are the grades or the skills or the classes the specific classes set at a federal level or a state level or at a community level?
Yes, thank you, Representative Brooks, for the co-chair. For different types of courses just to try and provide some consistency. But this program of study is something that is built locally. And so a school district might define the courses they have and develop the curriculum. It may be if they're partnering with a certain industry or institution or organization, they may use that organization's curriculum and coursework. But really that's something that's still up to the local school district to develop that. Of course, Carol Perkins does emphasize that they're responding to economic need and what the data shows, is the developing industries in Alaska, for example, and they're not on the course. They may partner with a training institution or another school district to build a course, as the one I mentioned. But yes, that's something that's ultimately developed locally. Thank you. Yes, so we are approving courses that are funded through Carol Perkins funds, and we're also tracking those programs of study CTEPs. And so that's something that we can gather for you. And the arrangements for dual credit are managed locally, and so that's something that we can chase down by perhaps reaching out to school districts. But that's something that they manage locally with the regional campus through an articulation program. But that's something that we can.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Coach Stewart and Coach Drummond and the committee for doing
chance to speak about our CTV program. We've been having a little bit of unstable internet connection here, so keeping my camera off, and we'd appreciate if for some reason I start rolling going into too many pauses for somebody to wait so that I can call in for my presentation. But I'm proceeding if that's your issue. Good morning. Let's see if you could move on to our second slide here. Just wanted to speak a little bit about the Bristol Bay Regional Prayer Education. We are a relatively new consortium. As of a year ago, last school year, we became a regional consortium that's partnering with all four school districts. And our main goal is to just build our regional workforce from the ground up and offer students the opportunities to just learn about different pathways and different career options. We operate through 21 different schools, and through those schools we offer programs to students in school size ranging from several hundred to 15. So through this consortium we're able to offer kind of a consistent CTE program to these really different and varied sizes of schools. Generally, we bring in industry experts for our classes. We, in a normal year, we bring students into our two main hubs four times a year to each of the school districts and bring to these four different weeks that students can fly into both Billingham and Mackinac and dive into really intense CTE coursework for a week. And the focus of those classes is very much on jobs and careers that are in need within the state and within the region. And our instructors, we have a mix of instructors either from experts within the state that we bring in or from within the region that are able to take that time to focus on building those skills and trainings for our students. I want to speak just a little bit to some shifts that we made this year in our programming. Like many of my peers in career technical education, we had to shift to be able to still offer what we could to our students this year without being able to have our students in a residential week-long dorm facility. We made some pretty quick turns, and just wanted to speak to a few of those. One of those was through a partnership with Honda. We were able to get engines donated and shipped out to the communities that were interested, and had our instructor in Mackinac create a series of lessons and recordings, and then through this partnership with Honda, students were able to go through their digital service technician trainings as well at their own pace. Another one in the slide you're looking at, there's a photo of our 12-volt electrical kit that we sent out to students currently participating in this 12-volt electrical kit, where they basically wire up the majority of simple electronics on a stick and many of the electronics that would be on a bigger commercial fishing vessel through a distance Zoom program with their instructor in Dillingham during the Alaska Synchronous. Also, we've been able to just shift into our distance allied health classes and currently have a cohort that's progressing towards their CNA certificate for our two-year program. And so, thanks to our partnership with ADAC, we've been able to just keep momentum on those programs and students progressing towards they're currently in a medical terminology program. And then also, we just made some quick shifts for aviation. So, our students are currently, we have a cohort for aviation, both in unmanned aviation and fixed-wing aircraft, through the Bell product programs with their first event campus and through a company in McGrath, Gadsden. And I just wanted to take a moment to mention that well, this is a big shift from what we have been doing. This is a there are some opportunities that we're able to reach that we haven't been able to do in the past. I also just wanted to speak to, we just got through a virtual career fair that was, created in partnership with our CDQ group, Respect Economic Development Corporation, that using this remote platform. And so as we discussed the challenges of our students and how challenging it is to look for summer employment, how challenging it is to look for what's next without being able to be at interviews, and without being through this virtual career fair, and really successful, we ended up having right around 200 participants at 40 different tables that were staffed. And just wanted to share a real quick quote from Anthony Mills, a teacher at Chicken Bowl, who just said, "Thank you for putting us together. It's been so fun watching light bulbs go off and the expressions on my students' faces. It seems so buzzing with career focused conversations. And what a great event." And so as we look into to the future for next year, I think we will probably continue with some version of that because of being able to have such a wide range of presenters and so many students being able to participate. Just wanted to speak a little bit to you. Students make that transition into work study and internship programs. right now, I feel like one of our biggest weaknesses, to be perfectly honest, is that we don't have a good system of support for students after they finish their program, and how we there was a great question that came up earlier of how we track the success of whether students are going right into the workforce, and we don't have a system for that, and we don't also have a good system for how we build in those internships. So I think by being able to start to offer these blended courses where students are working with their instructor via distance, we're hopeful that that's going to be able to help support us to transition into support going into internships and work study programs during the school year. If you go on to the next slide, please, page 6. Just wanted to take a moment. Our program is only as strong as our partners, and we have been so fortunate to have this incredible leadership team of superintendents that really look at our students as all of our students rather than individual students and how we can strengthen the region. So just, I can't speak highly enough of our district leadership team that focuses on that. And then including in that, we just have a number of different strong partners, our CD group, our native corporation, partner education, our respect campus. AFCAT has been really crucial in a number of our efforts, particularly our maritime program, and so AHAC, and then most recently HANA. So the work that we're doing is a lot of collaboration, and I think as we look towards this next year, I think that our ability to collaborate, because of having so much virtual opportunities to discuss things, is going to grow, we're hoping. So with that, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to speak and just for your interest in strengthening our CTE programs. I want to close and note that one of the biggest moments of success for me this year was hearing from a Fort Hyden teacher who had expressed that the reason that one of her students was coming to school was because she had told him that he couldn't just show up and do the small engine systems program and not do all the other courses, and that was such a driver for him to be able to come in and get his hands on an engine in this year when there were limited opportunities like that, that he brought students in on to receive the most valuable mechanic award that was given to his LSAC committee, and just the strength of the CTE programs is an impact that's really just can't speak enough to what I've seen of that. So appreciate all your work in learning about this, and happy for any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Griffin. I'm interested in your internship program and how I think that's an important part of it. How are you interfacing with employers, I guess, in the region?
Excellent question, through the chair. So that program, currently our discussions right now with our local advisory committee and with different employers is really focused on what the employer needs are, and this is a program that we really are hoping to launch this next year. We're currently looking through all of the rules and rights in terms of age and employment and how we can do this in a way that's really going to be beneficial to employers. So I would say the best answer I can give is right now it's a lot of conversations right now with our advisory committee. Without a real already created framework, it's a lot of kind of creation right now in how we can do this in a way that everybody's going to feel comfortable just with regarding liability. And so that's our main focus. And if there's, I mean, we're really early years that whatever kind of work is happening on this around the state, we can really help us with this.
I think that would be an important part of it. Develop networks and experience this by being in the business world, if you're both, as opposed to just the school world.
focusing on that. Thank you, Mr. Spence. Very, very interesting presentation. I'm curious how the virtual welding kit works. And you send home with students. I get the 12-volt, I think that was a 92-volt. I apologize, I'm not a small engine or welding person. But I'm trying to understand how virtual welding works if you can't be hands-on.
Excellent question, and through the chair, the virtual welding kits, and I've also been in a steep learning curve about sort of virtual hands-on learning myself, and so the virtual welding kits, they actually, when you buy them, they look just like a welding kit. They have a welding hood that you put on, and that's connected to a computer, and so once you put on the welding hood, then basically, you use similar equipment to like a welding gun or a stick welder, and it's a hands-on virtual. Obviously not as perfect as the real thing, but it basically gives you that opportunity to practice in a hands-on way without needing both the actual equipment and the safety portion. So. Certainly not in any way, shape, or form as exciting or as real as the actual actually welding, but it's as close as we can get to giving students that hands-on practice. If that answers your question.
It does, and that's triggered a follow-up question. That's fascinating. So in other words, the welding hood is your virtual reality mask, so to speak, that it's hooked up to a computer. Does that lead to an issue of broadband availability, depending on where the student is located?
Yeah, excellent question. The program goes directly into the computer with the program. I should mention this. We applied for a grant through the Alaska Community Foundation that's funding this portion of the program. And so that broadband is not an issue. It goes directly into the computer, and it's a program. And the other piece to this is that all of those rounds are saved, and we're still working out the kinks, but there is a way for our instructor to be able to go back and review those rounds to be able to offer, make kind of coaching to their students.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. And can I just one last question from Mr. Thorbaum?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can I understand that your name is Matt Zemeckin?
Through the chair, Zach Spencer.
Zach Holliday.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. If I would like to move on to Bats and Bats,
Hi, my name is Matt Wyman. I'm the CT specialist for the Kunit National Rural School District. Slide chapters. I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to host the Education Committee, both Co-Chair Story and Co-Chair Diamond. Today I'd like to share a bit with you about a watered-down version that I share with our stakeholders in our variation at all, but I'll speak specifically to some. machinery. There's a lot of handling equipment and so forth. So we really had to pay for instructors on how to best facilitate those type of effects. As you imagine, some of our challenges were hands-on courses such as welding, construction, culinary arts. And what that being said is, a lot of our courses had a decreased enrollment. We shifted a lot of students to other opportunities that may be more taxing for those purposes. A lot of times kids were sent home for construction kits to simulate some building construction supplies. Oftentimes materials were sent to the students as well for those purposes, just to give them with a hands-on experience, some kind of background to keep them involved with that course as well. One of the things that we did want to highlight is when we were shut down for a while, we weren't defined how long it was going to be, so we came up with specific mitigation plans just for our CTE courses. Our district realized that we couldn't complete in the spirit of providing an opportunity for hands-on learning without that time, so we were able to come up with mitigation plans with larger schools and so on to make sense of the testing just specifically for those classes. So we felt that was a really wonderful opportunity just to get those kids back in school and engaged to continue those courses. One of the things that we have seen is an uptick in work experience for students. As Mr. Billings mentioned earlier from DED, that's an important part of our program of study. So we saw a lot of students grasping for increased work experience aligned with their course of studies. And also to the opportunity that we want to look forward were to get our thoughts on college taking students who are taking college courses now, such as CNA, and also to APTEC and the nautical skills courses. So we reached out to our post-secondaries to try to really facilitate and grasp onto some of those post-secondary partners in training. Slide 4, please. Some of the things that we try to continue is build a strong foundation for what we have as students going into workplace or post-secondary is our career and technical student organizations. The three main ones that we offer are Skills USA. Unfortunately, for the past 2 years, I've been canceled because it's more of a hands-on application. The other one that we offer was Educators Rising. We have that, which is district-wide. So we were able to complete that. We have several state finalists as well as national finalists. And the other one is we have a strong FFA chapter for students that are still competing at Seward for FFA, which will be coming up this week. This week, I believe, is the state conference. Slide 5, please. Some of the aspects in which we focus on our career pathways, we have 8 career pathways. There's 16 career pathways nationally, but we've got a little more into because we don't have courses in each pathway. Some of the underlying factors that we really, when we come up with courses, course designs, is we identify the CTE outcomes for our students and for lower 48 positions and jobs. There's always 3 primary questions that we come back with our stakeholders from. We really try to get feedback and input from them, because that is just critical and vital to what we offer and what direction we want to go. So some of the questions are what preparation and skills are needed, employability skills, otherwise we prepare our students for workplace or career readiness, and we really try to focus on industry credentials, our post-secondary credentials, our OECs. The other thing is, what other courses or pathways should we be focused on, not just now currently, but we should be looking at 5 years into the future as well. Slide 6, please. One of the things that we look at is we look at a lot of economic trends, data trends, that are specific not only to the state, but also to with KeyNet. This is from the Department of Labor and Workforce Development over the last year. We're really trying to get in and try to identify more constituents are coming in and going out, what job opportunities and placement in relationship to what industries are being available to us at this time. So we try to keep up with any kind of economic and current trends that are highlighting our or showcasing our programs. Next slide, please. 7. One of the new focuses that we're really trying to pursue are computer science aspects. With the inherent COVID, we've noticed that there's been a as a hub here in the Kenai. It's going to offer two construction academies for students. We also have two opportunities for Alaska Petroleum students for a SIS card, the Cook Inlet Training Standards card, for them to become pre-employed for oil and gas industries. We also, and this is an exciting one, this is just right immediately happened within the last week, is we're going to be providing an opportunity for a certified nursing assistant course at Mountain Haven Providence in the Seward area. We've got a strong holding in there, which we're all about for CNA, not just on the central plant, but Seward, so we're really excited about that one. The other thing we're going to support for students is Microsoft Certification Online course. We offer this throughout the year, but we're going to continue it through the summer so students can earn certification in those Microsoft areas. The other thing I'm really focusing on is the workplace internship readiness online course. It's a new course we're proposing for all students to take. So it's just not students that are directly into a career pathway. We're looking at going for all students across the district, so this is very powerful to get ready and understand the expectations of going into the workplace. So I attempt this. I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to answer any questions that you have, and then once again, on behalf of KPBSD and CTE, thank you very much.
Any questions for Mr. Letterman? What
Kevin? Thank you, Mr. Letterman, for your presentation. On slide 4, you said that the Skills USA
state in correlation
so I think whatever other options you would need help with, email to my office. And thank you again for your efforts, and we have 3 presentations left over the next day. They've been offered about 10 minutes apiece, so we'll have any questions if you don't have yet, because I'm going to be able to get to my back at the end. Back over to Ms. Lisa Stewart from the Lower Prescott Club, and we'll be able to put your schedule on for the day. So, Mr. Stewart, if you wanted to say your name and phone, this is a remarkable thing to do. Thank you.
Thank you very much. point out that two examples come about this one, which we could apply to our students. Looking at industry certifications that students collect, you know, that could continue working for AWS with someone else who works there. Ensuring regional EMS group work with their teachers to be able to certify students in CPR and first aid. That was just an ongoing thing earlier. Making sure students could continue to work towards their certifications. We created a welcome to the day plan with the purchase of an enormous amount of additional PPE for our students. Like every student mostly only came back to in-person action, which function, which allows the students to come back with our PPE programs. We had to provide that COVID kit for everyone because we couldn't get it down to the level of safety. So, that was a big part of our program. Everything that you've heard today, the path of the industry
Thank you. morning. Thank you very much. I appreciate you extending the time. I'm Kathy LeBlanc, Division Director at the Alaska Vocational Technical Center, and our division in the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. And I thank you for the opportunity to speak today, and I really enjoyed hearing the presentations of my friends and colleagues at CTE. I guess we haven't been able to get together and chat, so it's been great to hear everybody. Next slide, please. I'm going to give you today a high-level overview of what goes on in ACTAC, and extend you an invitation to come and visit us. We have been in ACTAC for the last 18, 16 months, or for, I don't know, it seems like forever, 360-some days, but we are going to have to open up here later in the year for visitors. I extend you an invitation to come down and join us. I'm going to tell you a little bit about how we weathered the COVID storm as well, and then end with our student success story. So ACTAC is a division of the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. We are unique in that across the country that we're owned by an agency, a state agency, and not as traditional post-secondary training organizations operate. We do train over 100 Alaskans annually. We've been doing this since 1969, had our 50th anniversary here a couple of years ago. And we are nationally accredited through the Council of Occupational Education, as well as offering multiple industry credentials, not accredited through the other organizations, but we do have many industry credentials that we offer for students to earn. Next slide. Our mission is to serve. We are here to serve Alaskans, and we do that by delivering flexible and accessible and affordable workforce training. We respond to the dynamic needs of business that we serve all of Alaska. Next slide. And then the next slide, I'm going to tell you a little bit about our training programs. We have three main types. We do occupational program training. We take somebody that has no experience in the workforce and train them up over a period of 90 to 180 days in an immersive setting where they live here, and they train here and they work here. For that length of time. We also do job upgrade with a little shorter, more customized training. An example of that is a partnership that we have with the Alaska Energy Association, and we do power plant operator and bulk fuels training and person in charge source site training on transferring bulk fuels. And there's about 132 village power plant and village power organizations that we work with on that particular training. We do a lot of different ones, but I just wanted to highlight that one. And we also do continuing education, and our continuing education currently is in the form of related technical instruction, which is the instruction that is required in an apprenticeship, in a registered apprenticeship, for apprentices to supplement and augment their on-the-job training. And we do provide that mostly in construction and healthcare, and it's all offered online, so apprentices can access that regardless of their location. Next slide. I want to highlight a little bit about how training is different at ACTAC. We are not a credit hour school, we are a planned hour school. Students come here and they go to school every single day, all day, 8:30 to 4:30. They're expected to show up and be ready to work at 8:30. Not getting in and get the coffee and hit the code app. No, it's ready to work in their chairs at 8:30. So we try and instill that work ethic in there throughout the entire training. We don't get grades here. We get levels of achievement plus demonstrated mastery of skills. So in several of our programs, if a student masters a skill, they move on to the next, which means that students can often complete sooner, where students have the opportunity to get to work sooner, or the students that need a little extra time will have that extra time because we are based in clock hours. Next slide, please. We also embed technical and employability skills together. So like I said earlier, students are expected to treat this as a job. If they're sick, they need to call in. If they're late, they're going to get docked. If they are too late, too many times, it adds up and lead to probation. They get warned, they go on probation, and if they show us that they're not going to be able to be successful and complete, we will sever our relationship with them. It's best for them and best for us that when they're serious about getting training and getting a job, we're happy to help. But until they're serious It's a waste of their time and resources and us as well. So, Kathy, then the last thing is job search and employment. We have a staff person who works with students to get them trained up in doing good interviews, interview skills, looking people in the eye, firm handshakes, all of that, writing their resumes. And we provide that service up to 1 year after training. So we're a resource for students once they leave ABTECH. So what I tell students at the orientation is, if you're here to get paid and get a job and get out of your life, we're going to win it with you. Next slide, please. Part of our mission statement where we're responsive to the dynamic needs of businesses includes having very strong partnerships. We've heard a lot about partnerships today, and I will touch on that here in just a few slides, but I wanted to tell you about briefly about our occupational advisory committees. We have those committees that serve for each program that we have here at ABTECH, and working with our employers, it helps us to understand that what we're training is what they need. So we send students up, they employ them, we reach out, we say, how do you do? And they say, well, they need this skill or that skill. We say, okay, and we augment our curriculum. One example that I can give you real quickly is our information technology department. We used to build computers. Then if you had what they call A+, and they would build computers. Any more computers can plug and play. So the employer said, we don't need them to know that. We need them to know cloud computing and security. And we're like, okie dokie. So we changed our curriculum, took out the building of computers, and added in the cloud and the security. So we're very responsive to the dynamic needs of our business partners. Next slide, please. These are our occupational programs. I indicated with an asterisk the ones that were able to be more successful than others in pivoting. With the type of training that we offer, students are 75% to 80% of their time hands-on, turning wrenches, cutting vegetables, ticking away at the computers. It's very difficult to transition to an online environment in such a short period of time. But we did have an opportunity to do that with the programs that had the asterisks. And the culinary arts program was able to do their nutrition class online. When we quit training in March of 2020 and sent everybody home, that was at a time when a lot of the classes were getting close to being completed, so we were able to facilitate students getting jobs. Our construction technology program is only 4 months long, so they were barely halfway through, so we brought them back to finish up. We did videos, our instructor did some in-house and some demonstration videos. They still have industrial welding. They have two starts. They start in August and in January. So the August start, they were ready to go. We got them connected and they got employed. And the ones that started in January, we were able to invite back in the fall. Next slide, please. We do information technology networking. They went all online. COVID gone, everybody was home. The instructor got online. They continued to progress online. And they have been very successful in that environment. Business and office technology can go back and forth, which they've done pretty adeptly. Industrial electricity as well went back and forth with some online, because there's a lot of computation and reading of code and such. So some of these programs lend themselves to online delivery, but there still has to be that hands-on component. And so we brought them back for intensives here in the fall. And the same with the refrigeration. Next slide. Those programs that I just shared with you were occupational programs, zero employability skills to employable in less than 10 months, like a career of less than a year, we like to say. The Alaskan Outdoor Training Center is a different form of delivery. It is more short-term courses. We have over 40 U.S. Coast Guard and IMO-approved courses. We do advanced and beginner entry-level maritime training, and they have actually been able to pivot to online delivery in many of our courses through the U.S. Coast Guard approval. In addition to that, we have pioneered a new program called Proctorial. We are only one of two maritime training centers in the country that have been approved by the Coast Guard to use this software, and the Proctorial allows for remote proctoring for exams. So when we did that online it was all good and fine to do the training, but they still had to physically be present for their licensing exams. But with Proctoria, we were able to do remote proctoring. And we had our first test case last week, and I'm happy to say that it went off without a hitch, knock on wood, because you know technology is good when it works. You see the pathway that students go through in the maritime program, and I'm going to touch just a little bit on our introduction to nautical skills in just a minute, or navigational skills in just a minute. But that's the entry level. Then we have our licenses and certifications, and then we have our advanced training. The Maritime Training Center at OCTIC offers mariners the opportunity to get the same type of training experience that you would get if you went off to Cal Maritime or Piney Point or Pearl Harbor that you were back east, which is the maritime academies. There's about seven of them in the country. We call it the first flight. It takes a little bit of longer time. They go out and they get sea time. They come back, they learn, they license, and they advance. And then they go back and get more sea time and come back. One of our students has advanced to the level of sea pilot all through active training. So it is possible, and it just takes a little bit of extra time than the academies do, but we can provide that opportunity for Alaskan mariners. Next slide, please. And then on to the next. So we are following, and we're building and following career pathways model. And the maritime career pathway is the best developed pathway that we have, and I wanted to just share that with you quickly. We have a high school course, Introduction to Nautical Skills, and it's taught via distance. And I'm going to be telling you, we had full houses last year. We were happy to provide this training for students in high school, and it gives them the opportunity to get kind of a survey of what a maritime career would look like. Then if they were successful in that, we have Perkins Pool Secondary Funding that pays for them and instructors to come and get professional development and students to get the basic training. And then when they complete that, they are employable, they can get an internship, they can get an apprenticeship on tugs, barges, and other maritime employers. One thing before I move on here is our senior year to career, which allows high school seniors to start at OCTIC early. We have modified our admissions policies and reduced the age to 17 and allows students to get a jump start on their career if they've completed all their high school credits. And that's a little more involved. I'm happy to answer questions or send answers to questions to that. We're very proud of that senior year to career. It's a great partnership with our secondary colleagues and schools. Okay, next slide, please. I'm going to quickly go through this. I just wanted you to know that we also partner with the University of Alaska. Students that come to OCTIC and completed our business information or IT can buy credits at UAS and get into their Associate of Applied Science in Information Technology or Business programs at UAF Community and Technical College. Next slide, please. In our maritime program, mariners can go to UAS Southeast and buy credits if they have licenses that they earned at OCTIC and start into an Associate of Applied Science in Marine Transportation or Power Technology. So our pathways, next slide, please. And on the next slide. Our pathways go from high school to post-secondary. Our goal is to give Alaskans opportunities to train, and when they're done training, they still have options. More education, apprenticeships, or they can go to work. So that's our goal. So quick by the way, I just wanted to let you know that the form is delayed until Monday AM. So if you feel very bad, thank you very much. I appreciate it as well. Our COVID response, I just wanted to give you a quick overview. Our number one priority was the health and safety of students and staff. And we sent students home on March 18th of 2020, and we were able to accommodate that either to gain employment, to get access to their training to finish up, because our number two priority was to give students what they came for, and that was workforce training. And we were able to do that as best as we could, given the constraints. And then we started in the fall and brought students back under COVID, what we call and shared with others across across programs. We never had to shut down the school, and in the spring we have had no incidents. So it's been good. And I give credit to the students for their diligence. I give credit to the instructors and the staff to allow us to continue training. Next slide. It was not without its challenges, however. Our budget's been reduced due to enrollment this quarter. Revenue streams come from program receipts, and those are their debt, but we have received CARES funding to help supplement our budget and also to help students when they had to depart rapidly and then coming back, we were able to offset some of the costs for them as they came back. The CARES Act was helpful, did not quite cover all of our budgets, so we're still working to make up that shortfall. We've had lots of meetings about what we're going to do and how we're going to continue to provide training for Alaskans throughout the pandemic, and it's starting to ease up a little bit, and we're hopeful that by the fall we'll be able to open up at full capacity. Right now we are full at our COVID capacity, which is anywhere right now it's about 60 to 65% full capacity. So, like others, we had trouble bridging the digital divide, and we helped with that as much as we could, and the CARES Act funding helped with that as well to purchase technology needs for students that needed to participate online. Next slide, please. At the student success, I couldn't have to let you know. Students come back, if you go to the next slide, thank you. Students come back, they know what they want to do. They want to get trained up as a welder, they want to go to chef school, they want to work in IT. So our completion rate is well over 90%. Our five-year average is well over 90%. So like I said earlier, when students come and we are in orientation, my message to them is if you're in it, to win it. So we're here to help you do all that we can to get you to that goal. And our graduation this year is on May 18th, and that will be a great time of celebration for all of the students that were tenacious and perseverant. So not only did they learn to train and employability skills, but they also learned to be flexible in the workforce, because sometimes you have to be able to do that. Our employment rate is also nearly 90% for five-year average, so students get out, get a job, and get on with their lives. We've had thousands of Alaskans over the last 50 years. I had an experience when I first got to work at Aptech. I had my Aptech sweatshirt on. I was walking down the hall at the airport, and I heard somebody clear across the hall, "Hey, Aptech, class number 86. Aptech grads are everywhere. And then the last, I just wanted to point out that Aptech has been recognized nationally as one of the top 10 for return on investment by Georgetown University. So students that come here, their return on investment falls in the top 10 nationally for technical schools. Very proud of those statistics, very proud of Aptech, and very proud of our students. Last slide. Thank you very much for your time and attention and your extension of your time. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you very much. Congratulations. From Georgetown University, and members of the committee, please send your questions now in and we'll make sure to get them off to Elizabeth. So, again, thank you to everyone today. I really appreciate the enthusiasm and dedication of the CTE leaders that we heard from today. I hope to continue these conversations as we move to the first of legislation supporting CTE.